It's kind of hard to say. Lou Reed is dead. It's weird that someone as prickly and contrarian as Reed, someone who challenged his fans constantly and took pleasure in insulting critics for decades, leaves the world beloved. Reed epitomized New York City's alternative scene in the 1960s and 70s. His band, the Velvet Underground, defined the sound of Lower Manhattan, dissonant and dirty, an antidote to the hippie naivete of the 60s. Here's Patti Smith introducing the Velvet Underground at their Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in 1996.
They were a band of opposites, shooting freely from pole to pole, without apology, with dissonant beauty, trampling the flowers of peacemakers, treading the blonde depths, black in a white world, white in a black world. They opened wounds worth opening with brutal innocence, without apology.
Lou Reed underwent a liver transplant in May of this year. This morning, he died of complications from the transplant. He was 71 years old. NPR's Netta Ulaby has this remembrance.
The famous iconoclast actually got his start as a staff songwriter pumping out pop tunes in a wannabe hit factory.
Take away the ocean. Take away the sea. Take away the sunshine.
Lou Reed recalled his days as a frothy pop lyricist in a 1989 NPR interview.
When I first started out, I really liked the spontaneity of it because, you know, I've got a BA in English, and not that that means I should be good at it, but it gives me some kind of background at it, so at least I ought to be able to write my own name down. And I thought it was pretty fast.
Lou Reed was fast, in more ways than one. He went from Hit Factory to Andy Warhol's factory, the epicenter of trashy avant-garde experimentation in 1960s New York. Warhol mentored Reed and his band, the Velvet Underground. He urged them to keep things gritty. The band's Welsh co-founder, John Cale, told NPR in the year 2000 that the band was never easy listening.
We were not user-friendly at all. Anybody listening to a bass guitar and a regular guitar coming out of the same amp, it couldn't have been a really great listening experience.
Beyond their sound, the Velvet Underground disturbed even hardcore scenesters with graphic songs about debauchery and doing drugs.
Gonna try to nullify my life. When the blood begins to flow, when it shoots up the dropper's neck, when I'm closing in on death.
Drummer Mo Tucker remembered performing the song Heroin in an interview on WHYY's Fresh Air.
We got fired from the Cafe Bazaar because the woman said, came up rushing up to us and said, if you play one more song like that, you're fired.
They did, and they were, and the band's albums did not sell very well. Lou Reed left, then embarked on a spotty solo career that reflected his up-and-down life, enthralled with New York's darker corners and the hustlers who hid there.
Little Joe never once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, Joe, take a walk on the wild side.
Walk on the Wild Side became Reed's only top 40 hit, partly because a number of radio station programmers had no idea what it was really about. The album it came from, Transformer, co-produced by David Bowie, brought Lou Reed critical acclaim and attention, which Reed, in characteristic fashion, hated. That played out in interviews, including one with Bob Edwards, who asked Reed about his choice of subjects in 1989.
I mean, it might be harder to write about a chair. As a matter of fact, it would be harder to write about a chair.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
I mean, I could write a song about a chair. Who sat in this chair? Who built this chair? How long had this chair been here? You could do that.
And a few years later, while promoting his album, The Raven, Lou Reed vented to another NPR host who wanted to know how other journalists had somehow mixed up Reed's original lyrics with the writings of Edgar Allan Poe.
If you're deaf, dumb, and retarded, it's easy. I can't believe people interview me for this stuff and don't notice. I mean, that's, you know, I grade them. and I put them on my website when they fail really badly to warn other people, other musicians. Watch out for this interviewer. It's like talking to a squirrel.
As ornery as Lou Reed was with journalists, he was often supportive of other artists. He influenced R.E.M., The Replacements, Talking Heads, and he collaborated with musicians ranging from Metallica to a young woman he met at a concert.
So I just said, hey, Lou Reed, this is Emily Haynes.
Haynes talked to NPR in 2012 about her band Metric. She said Reed asked her if she would rather be in the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. She said, the Velvet Underground. Then, would he sing on her album?
I just asked him, and he said yes.
I never wanted to go home.
When Lou Reed was not on stage or working with other artists, he was happiest in New York City, where he mellowed into a lower Manhattan elder statesman, riding his bike, practicing Tai Chi, and taking photos. He could get cranky about his own compositions.
Now, I did not place that stupid bird there.
Lou Reed in 2006, walking around his neighborhood with his camera.
The light comes and goes so quickly when it's perfect. You know that. There's a certain time in the morning, certain time around dusk, where the light is golden.
An ephemeral moment, like Warhol's factory or a city sunset.
And I wanted to catch that.
Lou Reed caught it on celluloid and on vinyl. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you.
And for Sunday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Arun Roth. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends and All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR app. You can follow us on Twitter at NPRWATC. We're back next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening, and keep it gritty.